Take your Bible tonight, and if you would, let's begin in the book of Deuteronomy. If you don't have a Bible, there should be a Bible in the pew in front of you. We are going to turn a little bit in our scriptures tonight, and it will be important that you have one or be seated beside somebody that has one and be able to follow along. Started a series last week on the subject of learning. Learning is mentioned either in that word or learn some 63 times in the Bible. The activity of learning or the subject of learning is very important to God. There are about 20 different categories or things that I could find in the scripture where God specifically said that he wanted us to learn about. And not so much is the thought of learning just a head knowledge, but when God mentions learning, he's mentioning understanding intellectually, but also working out practically in our lives. To learn something is to do it. You may be familiar with it, you maybe have an understanding of it, but once you've learned something, it becomes a habit or a practice in our ability. And so I want to begin tonight with the very first thing that I found in the scripture that God said that he wanted for his people to learn. Pick up, if you would, in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse number 12. If you know Deuteronomy, it's a book written by Moses. It's kind of a review book as Moses began to review all that God had done for the nation of Israel as he's preparing them to go into the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse number 12, the Lord is speaking here, and he says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy," say it class, "for thy good." In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse number 12, Moses is giving to the nation of Israel a set of requirements that God has for them, that God has planned for them, that are set for their good. Most people don't really like requirements, and sometimes we can get a little bit frustrated with requirements. But God is saying, this is not a suggestion, this is not an advice, this is not counsel. What I'm giving to you is a requirement that I want you to do. And by the way, this requirement is for your good. And if you look at verse number 12, the very first requirement is to fear the Lord thy God. And so in all of these, when it comes to walking and to loving and to serving and to keeping the commandments, those that would seem natural to us, if I was to ask you, what is the first thing God wants you to learn or to know about him? I think we would say a lot of things. We would say about salvation, but he's talking to his people here. We're talking about his love, maybe his mercy, maybe his grace, his kindness, his patience, his forgiveness. But God said, in my list of requirements for you that I want you to do, the first thing I want my people to do is to fear me. And so I want to preach a message tonight entitled, A Healthy Dose of Fear. A Healthy Dose of Fear. By the way, not all fear is bad. Not all fear is bad. Some people struggle with different fears in different areas, and sometimes those are inadequate. But my dad used to teach us that a healthy dose of fear is good. And by the way, every kid ought to have a healthy dose of fear for their mom and dad. And anymore, we don't have any healthy doses of fear. So God said, now Israel, for your good, the first thing I require of you is that you have a healthy dose of fear. Go, if you would, back just a couple of chapters to Deuteronomy chapter number 4, and let me show you something that is very unique about God's requirement. And the reason that God was able to put such a requirement on them is given to us in chapter 4, verse number 10. Here, Moses again is speaking and writing here, and he's reminding them of all that God has done for them and reminding them and what the Lord did at Mount Horeb, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, that means Moses, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may, what's that next word? Learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, that they may teach their children. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 10, now you got to work a little bit mentally with me. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, God says, my requirement for you and for your good, first one is that you fear me. In chapter 4, Moses had already showed them that fearing the Lord is a learned behavior. A learned behavior. He said that it was to be taught from generation to generation, from parent to child. It was a learned behavior from God's people. Now, the nation of Israel was God's chosen people. Okay? And so God is saying, I want my people to learn to fear me. Well, Pastor, we live in the New Testament time. We live in a day and age where God's no longer to be feared. We don't really have to fear him. The church isn't supposed to fear the Lord. He's our Savior and he's these things. And so we don't really have the same requirement upon us that the nation of Israel had then. The funny thing is, people say a lot of things that they cannot prove from Scripture. Let me hold your hand in Deuteronomy. You make your way to Acts chapter number 9. While you're making your way to Acts chapter number 9, let me quote to you 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse number 17. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. You're headed to Acts. And I'll get there in just a moment. Well, I thought I could find 1 Peter quicker than you could, but I'm struggling a little bit. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me just read for you verse number 17. Peter, teaching the church here, says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So we do find in 1 Peter a direction to the church that we are to fear the Lord. Now, come to Acts chapter 9 and look at verse number 31. This verse is at the context of one of the great miracles that had happened for the church in its early existence. They were under such persecution by this man named Saul. But in Acts chapter 9, he receives the Lord Jesus Christ. And I mean, in verse number 21, there's amazement, there's peace, there's joy. And if you look at verse 31, there's a description of the local church at that time. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and were edified and walking in, say it class, the fear of the Lord. So Peter said that the church is to fear God. At the epitome of success and God's power on the church in Acts, they were walking in the fear of God. And if you don't really still believe me that the church is supposed to fear God, go back to Acts chapter number 5. And let me read you the very first verse of Acts chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. How many know the story of Ananias and Sapphira? How many remember that Ananias and Sapphira on their own accord committed selling that piece of property and said they were going to give that money to the Lord? Nobody made them to. They did it. They made their own vow. Then once the money came in, they didn't want to do it. And so they connived together to get this scheme. And Ananias walks in and they said, hey, is this all the money? And he says, yes, it is. Drops dead immediately. And Sapphira comes in later. Is this all the money? Yes, it is. And she drops dead immediately. If you were to go on and read Romans or Acts chapter number 5, it says at that time, all the churches had fear. Boy, there would be fear if everybody dropped dead in here that promised God money and didn't give it to him. We would have fear. All right. So God said to the nation of Israel, the first thing I want my people to learn is to fear me. Over here in the New Testament, in the church, we've got commands to fear God, walking in the fear of God, and we can look at Ananias and Sapphira there. And by the way, in Romans chapter 3, verse number 18, one of the descriptions of an unsaved man or woman is that there's no fear of God in their eyes. So an unsaved man or woman has no fear of God. God's people are to learn to have a fear of God. Are you with me so far? All right. So having understood all of that and seeing where that's going, let's talk about fear just a moment. Pastor, what kind of fear are you describing? What kind of fear do you mean? The Bible talks about the relationship between God and his child as a father-son relationship. And it's not necessarily fear that I have to fear God like he is an abuser. Some of you grew up in an abusive home. Some of you may have been molested as a child. Some of you may have suffered some things. And you had an innate fear of bodily harm in being with somebody, and so you never wanted to be with them. Let me just give you a side note here, and you might already know this. There's no reason to fear ever being with the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never hurt you. He will never abuse you. He will never do those things. But he's not talking about that kind of fear. He's talking about a parent-child kind of understanding and fear. A child loves his parent, but a child ought to fear disobeying his parent. When a child is wrong, and a child doesn't fear total separation, a child can go to his dad or his mom and things could be made right. The fear that we're talking about here, that the Bible is talking about, is a reverence. It's an awe. It's an esteem for God's holiness and for God's power. Now, an unsaved man has no thought for God's holiness. None. Romans chapter 3, verses 9, 10, all the way to verse number 15 says that an unsaved man has no thought for God's holiness. But when a person comes to faith in Christ and the Spirit of God indwells us, then Jesus said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And then the holiness of God enables my life to be holy. So where an unsaved man has no thought of fear of God, they live their life with total disregard for accountability or authority or evidence or anything like that, and they just do what they want to do. God's child, having the Spirit of God in him, is pricked about the holiness and the power of God. And so as we see the holiness of God and understand the power of God, a reverence and an awe develops that we, as we begin to know the truth of the Lord. And so there's this fear of God. Well, Pastor, how does God's people learn this fear? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 10. God is telling them that, and he's referencing Exodus chapter number 19. And in Exodus chapter number 19, they're at the mountain there, and God is displaying his power and his holiness in such a manner that he's getting their attention and he's wanting them that to so impact their lives that the rest of their life, they ought to live with a reverence and awe about God. And by the way, God is awesome, is he not? He's awesome. So God's child, I have a reverence and a respect and an awe for the holiness of God. And then I have a reverence and a respect for the power of God. Let me tell you something. If God didn't give you your next breath, you wouldn't have one. If God didn't give you a job, you wouldn't have a job. If God didn't give you wealth, you wouldn't have wealth. If God didn't give you all that you have, all that a person has is because God has graciously given it to us. And the Lord said in Exodus 19, he let the nation of Israel see him in his holiness, and that mountain was on fire. And I mean, it was intense. They were scared out of their mind, and the whole mountain shook. And God said, I did that so you would fear me your whole life. Pretty impressive. Pastor, what is the fear of God designed to do in my life? The fear of God is designed, there are many things, but really it leads me to the position of submission and humility, obedience and service and carefulness in the Lord. And so God said, I want my people to learn to fear me. And you're going to learn that by seeing his holiness and his power. Fascinating. Now I want to ask you a question. Do you fear God? Do I fear God? Well, if I fear God, I reverence him. I respect everything about him. I'm in awe of him. And then I'm submissive in my own spirit. See, I'm afraid sometimes that God's people, we live a little bit like the unsaved man, and we really don't have a fear of God. We're saved a little bit, but the way we order our lives, we don't really live in light that we ought to be afraid of his holiness and of his power. And there ought to be this reverential respect where I just yield my life. Let me tell you something. As a senior in high school, I tried to disrespect God. I did. I made a decision that I was going to go my own way. God wanted me to go this way and serve him, and I knew he did. He impressed it upon my heart. I said, I'm not going that way. I'm going to go my own way. And you know what God did? He did exactly what my dad did. He stood up and took his belt off. My dad had a long leather belt. Just let me give you kids a little bit of suggestion. If you ever want to hide your parents' belt, don't hide it in the same place you're hiding. I didn't think about that. And so God began to discipline me. And God revealed to me his power and his holiness. And he said, Tom, I'm not letting you go a direction. And it got my attention. And I want you to know something. I order my whole life today in the way I'm in my marriage, in my home, in my finance, in my job, in my personal life. I order all of that with the understanding I don't want to disobey God. Why? Because I have a fear of him. Not that he's going to crush me, but I want his blessing. He's awesome. He's holy, and I'm submitted to that. And God said, you learn it. How do you learn it? I learn it by getting to know him. Now, look at the authority and the impact it has in my life. A thought to fear God, a heart to fear God, is a proper heart. And then I can go through this whole Bible here and show you some things. I'm just going to show you a little bit here. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 10, God says, I want to let you hear my words that you may learn to fear me. And he's saying here in verse number 10, he's teaching them that one of the responsibilities and evidences that I fear God is that I'm obedient to him. I'm obedient to him. Listen, when I was a kid and you were disobedient, you got punished. How many got punished when you were a kid? I hope you punish your child when they are disobedient today. But I learned a lot about God from my dad. I learned from my dad that God is holy. I learned from my dad that God hates sin. I learned from my dad that God would punish me because he loved me. I learned from my dad that God was approachable when I came with a heart seeking for forgiveness. I learned from my dad that I couldn't about God that I couldn't do anything that would keep God from loving me. Amen to that, right? I learned these things from my dad. And so when I was growing up at home, I did that. Now it's our responsibility to teach our children those things. And so I also learned from my dad about God that I'm to be obedient. Why? Because I didn't want to get a whooping. And I found this too. When I was obedient, my dad lavished on me rewards and blessings. When I'm obedient to God, I find that obedience brings blessing. If you've ever known that to be true, say amen. And if I'm disobedient, it brings punishment, loving punishment. And so God let them see that fire just shaking. It was so afraid, they begged him, stop, stop, stop. And he said, now you're going to fear me your whole life. Impactful. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Look at, go to chapter 14, look at verse number 23. Deuteronomy chapter 14, in verse number 21, he's talking about the tithe. In verse number 23, he says, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of corn and of thy wine and of thine oil and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest, what's our word there, class? Learn to fear the Lord thy God. How often? Always. So God was teaching the nation of Israel about learning to fear him when it came to tithing. Now, he's not necessarily teaching them just about money here. Tithing is worship. When Abraham met Melchizedek, who was the pre-incarnate Christ, he fell down and he worshiped and he brought him tithes of all. And God says, now, I want you to learn to fear me. And I want you to learn to do it so it keeps you in the spirit of worship. Now, let's talk about this. If I'm going to worship God, John taught me that I worship God in spirit and in what? Truth. So God said, I want my people to learn to reverence and awe and fear me so that they will in turn worship me. And here he's talking about the tithe. Go to chapter 17, look at verse number 19 of Deuteronomy. Here he's talking about a king. Verse 14, he says, when you come into the land and you want a king over you, and he comes down here to verse number 19, and he's talking to the king, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he, that's the king, may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. And so he says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, you're going to learn to fear me so you obey me. You're going to learn to fear me because I'm worthy of this worship and I want your worship. And here your king is going to learn to fear me. What was he teaching them there? He was teaching there that Jesus Christ will share his glory and his authority with none other. And he took the highest authority in the land. They didn't even have a king at that time. But he knew there would one day be a king. And he said, now, when you get that king better learn to fear me. And he was teaching them that there's no greater authority than me. There's nobody that needs to be feared above me. I am the supreme sovereign God, and I should be the ultimate fear factor in your life. It's interesting, though. Today, I'm not necessarily sure that God is the number one thing we fear in our lives. People fear not paying a bill. So we don't give God his tithe. We don't want our lights to be turned off. Or we fear what maybe somebody else is going to say. And so we don't fear God. We line ourselves up over here. Or we fear some relationship or keeping some job. Some other authority is in our life. And we've kind of pledged our allegiance and surrendered our reverence and our awe to some other authority, and we've kind of put that over God. And God told his people, he said, the highest authority you can get in the land, you better not put that over me. Amen. Amen. But we've got this idea that since we don't see God, I'm not necessarily sure that we have the proper reverence and awe of him. And so God said, now listen, learn. This is a learned behavior. In my holiness and in my power, learn it. Learn to fear me and be obedient. Learn to fear me because I deserve and demand your worship. Learn to fear me because I am the greatest authority that there is. There's none other beside me. And I need you to learn that. And by the way, he said that would be good for us, did he not? Yeah, so God's people need to learn some of these things. We could go to Proverbs. Now go over here to Proverbs. I'm going to show you a couple things and we'll be done. Proverbs chapter number 1. This fear of the Lord is massive. It goes on in description as to how great it is. Verse number 1, or chapter number 1, verse number 7. You know this. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. God wants you to learn to fear him so you have knowledge. Let me tell you something. Any discipline of learning that excludes the fear of the Lord is untrustworthy knowledge. Have you ever made a decision based on bad information? Oh. Have you ever made an investment based on bad information? Thank you, my dad. Cost me $500. Have you ever been so sure you're right to find out you were wrong? See, our mindset is, if it fits in culture, if it fits in my plan, if it fits in my budget, and if it sounds good, and I have others, then it must be knowledge. It must be wisdom. But God said, no, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That means God's child ought to take everything we hear, everything we take in with our five senses, everything in culture, and the first thing we do with it is we measure it against God's word. Whatever aligns with God's word, we receive. Whatever repels God's word, we reject. And they can call us ignorant and unlearned people if they want to, but knowledge begins with the fear of the Lord. We better learn that. So when God gives us a biblical verse or a biblical principle, and your brain and your family and culture and society is saying, go this way, but God's word says go this way. If you want knowledge, I do what God's word says. Why? Because I know his power and his authority, and I trust him. So the fear of the Lord, so important for you to learn it, or you'll not have knowledge and wisdom. Look, if you would, at chapter 8 of Proverbs. We'll just bump through here. I got 5 or 6 of these things. Proverbs chapter 8, look at verse 13. He said, the fear of the Lord is to hate what? Evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. See, if I fear the Lord, I'm going to hate evil. Go to Proverbs chapter 16. Look at verse number 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from what? Evil. Why do God's people need to learn to fear God? We need to learn to fear God because it helps us depart from evil. Listen, there were plenty of times when I was a kid that my friends did things that I wouldn't dare do. I wanted to do them. I wanted to do them. I mean, they would come to me with magazine. They would come to me with direction. They would come to me with whatever. Don't you think that I didn't want to do those things? But I knew that if I got caught, I would meet Jesus face to face. Spiritually, I don't care if you're 58, 60, 70, 80, or you're 40, whatever age you are. There are things that we encounter in life that sometimes our flesh wants to do. And it drives me to do and pushes me. And it's evil. And I think, am I going to do this? No, I'm not going to do this because I fear the Lord. I don't want God to take his hand of blessing off me. I sure don't want God to whip me. I'm afraid to go after evil because I have a fear of the Lord. Sometimes I do I write out my tithe, and I don't know about you, but sometimes I get extra money throughout the week. And I know what my paycheck is and I know what my tithe is. And then sometimes if you have a birthday or if you have something or just God smiles on you, you're getting money on that week. And I sit down and I think, now, did I get extra money this week? It happened to me this week. I'll just give you a personal example. I always do more than what my tithe is for sure. And I got $130 extra dollars this week. What's the tithe on $130? $13. My extra that I give, my tithe, my faith promise, my building fund, my mission to Haiti money, on top of that, I give more money. The more money that I give was way more than the $13. So my brain said, you've already tithed on that money. And God said, no, Tom, you give that. This was extra. Don't lump that with that extra. I want my tithe. I thought, well, man, I really do, because I could, if I add it all up, it still fits underneath this number. But God said, no, don't do that. It's only $13. You know, we cheat the Lord for so little, don't we? I thought, well, and then of course, if it's only 13, I got to give 15, because I don't want to measure God like that. So now that number's getting big. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, and I'm just being honest with you. Here's what I did. I said, okay, Lord, here's what I want to do, but I believe this is what you want me to do, and I love you, and I trust you. And so what did I do? I just wrote it, and I put it in the offering plate, and you know what I did? It went with such peace, such peace. Now, your situation may be different. It may not even involve money, but so much evil directs us. You would be amazed how many victories you would see if you learned to fear God. I don't want to ever look at that. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. Why? I fear the Lord. We got to learn that. Proverbs chapter, what time? Oh, I got to hurry. Man. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Proverbs 14, 26, you'll never get all this, just listen, gives me strong confidence. Proverbs 14, 27 says, the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 16, teaches me that in business, I ought to fear the Lord. Proverbs 22:4, it says the fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. You see, God desires to bless and provide for his child. Do you believe that? And so God had so much. I mean, Israel was nothing. If you think God chose Israel because there was something special about them, you don't know about Israel. They were unattractive as you could imagine. There was nothing pretty about Israel. And God said, I choose them. And God said, I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to unleash my blessing on you. And I'm going to provide for you. There was nothing attractive about them. But God has a desire to bless his child. That includes you. And so God said, now I want you to learn something. I want you to fear me. I want you to reverence me. I want you to be in awe of me. I want you to learn to fear me. Well, Pastor, learning to fear God keeps me handcuffed and handicapped. Let me tell you something. They would have died in that wilderness without God. They did, many of them, for unbelief. God wants to bless his child. But most of us
we haven't learned how to receive that blessing because we don't have that reverential fear for God. God said, I want you to learn it. Now, let me show you how you learn it. Go to 29:25, Proverbs. Proverbs 29:25. I am racing against the clock. Speaking of racing, my condolences to you Jimmy Johnson fans out there. Five laps to go, out in front, and blows an engine. Sad. All right, Proverbs 29:25. Watch this now. The fear of man bringeth a what? Okay, now look at me. God says now, I want my people to learn to fear me. And he said it would be for your good. Most of us, we've learned to fear man. And God said, if you're going to fear man, it's going to be a snare to you. Keep reading. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be what? Safe. Listen, that's a parent-child relationship there. Trust me, don't play in the street. Trust me, look both ways. Trust me, don't touch that. Trust me, do this. And you're wanting your child to respond in a trustworthy and fear way to you for their safety. I never forget. Did you ever get tired of telling your kid to stop touching the stove? I hope you didn't do what I did, but I'm going to be honest with you. Stop touching it. Stop touching it. Stop touching it. Go ahead, touch it. Was I the only one to ever do that? Don't. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, touch it. Go ahead. I promise you won't get a spanking. Touch the stove. Ah! I wish I'd have done that with the first one. And sometimes God says, don't touch it. Don't touch it. Don't. Okay, touch it. Go ahead. You don't want to listen to me? You don't want to fear me? You don't want to do that? Touch it. And in our lives, we go forward, and it isn't very long, we cry out. Keep reading. Verse 26. Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from the who, class? Lord. How do I fear? Where do I begin to learn the fear of God, Pastor? You begin to know him. You begin to know his holiness and his power, but you also begin to remember his judgment, his authority, his vision, his understanding. I'm going to give an account for my life. Every one of us are going to give an account of our lives. And I think sometimes we're going to stand there and we're going to see God in all of his glory. And just because we don't see him physically in all of his glory now, we do see it by faith and we're revealed it in the scripture. And I think sometimes we're gonna get up there and we're going to say, why was I so stupid? Why was I so self? Look, I tried to live and not fear this. And when you get there, it won't be this fear like you're afraid he's going to crush you. You're going to look at him and you're going to think, man, I could have had all of that. Because I'll tell you something. Not only is our God willing to bless us, he is able to bless us. Learn to fear him. That means he's at the forefront of every decision. That means he has your reverence and your awe. That means if it doesn't make sense to you, it doesn't matter. If it's in the book, I fear the Lord. We do this because of Christ. This is the stand we are going to take. We will be obedient. He will have our worship. He's the ultimate authority. All of these things will be true. And we're in our home. We're going to begin to fear God. That means we're going to do what he asked us to do. He said it would be for our good. And God's people said, amen. Learn to fear him. Shall we pray?